On this episode of Baseball Barbacast, quarterfinal preview, WBC, Team USA against Canada. We got DR against Korea, Venezuela, Japan, Puerto Rico, Italy. Chelsea Janes is my guest host on this episode. We do a very, very funny edition of The Good, The Bad, The Ugly that includes Ricky Henderson and Guy Fieri. Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world willing to misspeak and miscalculate. I'm Jake Mintz. That is Chelsea Janes, baseball insider at SNY and friend of the program, pinch hitting for Jordan this morning. Chelsea, hello, how are you?
I am doing great. I'm so happy to be here.
Chelsea, no friend of mine has been worse at being fired. You were unemployed for about a week after the Washington Post, disgracefully asked you to exit the building, but you are now up in New York working for SNY. Congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be bad at being fired. I was very lucky, as were many of my colleagues, which is awesome.
If you're good at your job, you're bad at being fired. On this episode, we are going to preview the World Baseball Classic quarterfinals. It's not that complicated. Spring training is still going on and no one cares about it. We have four games set to take place over the next 48 hours. We have USA and Canada and DR against Korea tonight, today. That is our opener. Chelsea, we will begin with USA-Canada. Canada, disgraced after losing to our Pee-wee nation in hockey twice in the span of a week over in the Olympics. This is their opportunity for revenge. Canada, congratulations. You won your pool. You advanced to the knockout stage for the first time in the history of the WBC, and your reward is maybe the greatest lineup ever assembled. I think we should start here. The vibes for Team USA over the last week, last couple days, have been a disaster fest. How much does that actually matter, in your opinion, moving forward?
I think it matters if they get behind early. I think it matters a lot. I think the tension will grow if they are behind early for some reason. I don't know how they've managed to make the vibe so bad. Like, that is almost amazing. It's amazing how mad they've made the vibes. But, you know, there might be a relief factor here. I don't know. But if they get behind early, I think there'll be like legit tension because, you know, they've been on the ropes and they went from, oh, look at them running through this pool, to what a disappointment, you know, in like the span of a few days. And we don't quite know where they are yet.
Two of our buddies who host a college baseball podcast, Chris Burke and Mike Rooney, they talk about this dynamic of the, oh my God, we're going to win meter when a team that is upsetting someone enters the ninth inning and gets super tense and then just like blows the game very slowly and horribly. Team USA has this like slightly similar but maybe opposite dynamic where you could feel in the beginning of the Italy game where they were like not getting on base and not hitting at all, where this tension, it was like pressure building up inside of a water bottle that you like twist and then they just needed someone to open the lid and then they would just score six runs, right?
Right, 100%. But they get so tense. Like even like the Dominican could fall behind and I think they'd probably still be dancing. I don't know what it is about the U.S. team and the guys. I mean, it's the Aaron Judge, classic Aaron Judge, right? That's what they look like.
So Jordan and I were going to have this conversation before like the DeRosa miscalculation kerfuffle the other day. And it was just going to be which players on Team USA look like they're having fun. Now, that's different than which guys are having fun, which guys look like they're having fun. When I actually believe that Aaron Judge is having fun. Like when they panned Aaron Judge during this tournament, he is smiling way more often than he's usually smiling, right?
Yes, I think so. I think so. But I also
He feels PCA, he obviously feels the pressure of it all. PCA is having fun. I would say I think Kershaw is having fun because he doesn't have to. He's like the got an A on the group project guy.
100%. 100%. I'm trying to think who else on that team is enjoying themselves. I mean, I think like when Gunner got in the game, he was happy.
Oh, yeah. They let him play.
But I mean, almost everything is stressful though, right? Like from school having to leave, like, oh, the worst decision. It's just all, everything is stressful with them. And it's really hard to understand how it got there.
So you mentioned Scooble, and I think that is an important place to go to as we preview this matchup with Canada. Because there are a number of pitching replacements as we enter the knockout rounds. Scooble, famously notable, out. He made his one start against Great Britain and returned to Lakeland with the Tigers. But there are four other arms departing. That is Michael Wacha, Ryan Yarborough, Clay Holmes, and Matthew Boyd. In their place, there will only be three relievers stepping in for those five starters. Okay. That is Will Vest of the Tigers, Tim Hill of the Yankees, and Tyler Rogers of the Blue Jays. Joe Ryan, we have been told, is going to step in for Clayton Kershaw after the quarterfinals. Now, my understanding is that there is a limit to the number of replacements that you can make after a certain point in the tournament. And DeRosa seemed to imply this when he did his press conference the other day. And that is why the roster loses five starters and only gets three relievers. This dynamic is pretty fascinating. Now, I know that there are more off days built into the knockout round, but if Mark DeRosa was already worried about a lack of pitching and he just lost five dudes that are going to give him bulk innings and added Will Vest, Tim Hill, and Tyler Rogers, all of whom are probably only going to throw one inning, like, shouldn't this be a bigger cause for concern?
I mean, I would think so. It's definitely, and also, I mean, even, you know, if you get there, what do we know about where Joe Ryan is, right? Isn't he still kind of working his way back? Like, it just seems very, they've really lost a lot of innings, right?
Yeah.
So then, you know, what if things kind of go off the rails? Where are you, you know, with long guy? It's just it's a weird dynamic for so many reasons.
And I do think that Logan Webb is the right character to start this game, because he is going to give you length, because he's pitching to contact. Really, no one in baseball works deeper more consistently than Logan Webb. And even with, I believe it's an 85 pitch limit, you can envision him working into the sixth inning, right? Fifth or sixth inning.
Totally.
You know, and I do think that that will help them. But, you know, if he can only, to me, the most, like, how does this go wrong for USA, in my mind, like, the likeliest way, is that Webb works up his pitch count early, because even though there's an 85 pitch limit over the course of a game, there is a certain amount of pitches in an inning that DeRosa is not going to let guys go over. Like, we don't know what that is, but, like, there's no way he lets Logan Webb throw more than 30 pitches in an inning, right?
I mean, I don't think so. Right. I mean, they have the arms to fill innings behind him, but it's just, do you have enough? Like, do you have enough if you keep advancing? I mean, I'm looking at who they have. I mean, they've got guys, but yeah, you're right. I think if the early innings get away from Logan Webb, then you're kind of in trouble. Yeah.
So the available pitchers for Team USA in this quarterfinal, Logan Webb will be on the bump. I do not expect that we will see Paul Skeens or Nolan McLean pitching in this game. We have Tim Hill, Tyler Rogers, and Will Vest. And then the relief group is Brad Keller, Gabe Spire, Griffin Jacks, Garrett Whitlock, Garrett Clevenger, David Bednar, and Mason Miller. Clayton Kershaw is also on this team. He is not going to pitch in this game unless they're up by a lot. That's a figurehead. Now, you could bullpen your way through the back half of this game. Like, there are enough arms. You have an off day after. You haven't played in a couple days. Like, all those dudes are probably going to be available. You just do get into a situation where you are lacking length. And so that's going to be the pitching situation for Team USA. And going up against the Americans and the star-studded lineup will be one Mr. Mike Soroka. Mike Soroka. Chelsea Jades, Mike Soroka, exactly. At Washington National last year. You used to live in Washington, D.C. and be around the Washington Nationals. How much time did you speak with Mike Soroka? Was he someone that you talked to at all when you were with the Nats?
You know, a bit. He's very serious. Like, he's someone who will, he'll talk to reporters, but he's in and out. Like, that guy is serious. And if I were picking someone to wear innings that you maybe think he shouldn't wear in the spring on behalf of a country, like, that's the guy who's going to do it. Like, he's going to try to put Canada on his back, successfully or not. But, like, that guy is serious.
And he is not fake Canadian. Okay. This is like, he played hockey in high school. Yes. All right. This is not, oh, my dad was born in Vancouver and moved to Seattle when he was seven. You know, this is someone who is bleeding maple syrup through and through. He made one start earlier in this WBC in Canada's opening game. He was fine, unspectacular. I believe he worked three innings in that one against Colombia. But I have less confidence in him than I did in Michael Lorenzen, though, because I just think that Lorenzen almost had nothing to lose in that start. Like, his career, if Michael Lorenzen retired tomorrow, I think we would all remember Michael Lorenzen as this like admirable workhorse type. Whereas for Soroka, because of injuries, like, I don't know if that's the same case. I do worry about his, not disposition, but like his ability to work through this lineup.
Totally. And I think to what I was saying earlier, like, he's going to want to be the guy who held down USA and stood up for Canada. And he's got that in him. Like, when he's right, he used to be really, really good, but he's just never quite found it again. I think he's kind of also pitching with something to prove to the D-backs. Like, he's got a lot on his shoulders, and he's going to put a lot on his shoulders. And we can talk ourselves into being worried about the American pitching, but when you get past, you get into the Canadian bullpen, it gets thin real fast.
This is a really, really good point, right? Like, we are nitpicking the American pitching, and I just listed like eight of the best 30 relievers in the world. Yeah. We're like, oh no, do they have the arms? And then you go to the Canadian bullpen, where it's like, literally, and I've said this 85 times on our show, there only is one person in the Canadian bullpen that pitched in the big leagues last season. Okay, I'm just going to say that one more time. One reliever on Canada was a big leaguer last year, and that is friend of the program, Rob Zastrzyzny. And despite that, Canada's bullpen was really, really good in pool play, one of the better bullpens in pool play. They allowed just three earned runs in 21 innings, 25 strikeouts, 6 walks. Now, it is a jump in competition level from Cuba to Team USA. And that is a good transition to the following question. Chelsea Janes, how would you, if you were Mark DeRosa, okay, you're on TV now, you're just apparently as qualified, you know, Mark's on TV, you're on TV. Like, if you were in the managerial chair, how would you align Team USA's lineup for this game?
Oh, man. I mean, I think, oh, gosh. I think that one of the main questions, right? The main questions are, I mean, I, like, I Judge don't think is Bryce at right. first is a question. Right, right.
Judge is playing right. It's Bryce, like, is at first. Cal's behind the dish. Like, whatever.
Like, is it?
Who's playing
is it
center? Gun, Let's you, start there. Do you find, who's playing center? Okay, like, okay. Buxton got games 1 and 3. PCA got games 2 and 4. Homer twice in that game against Italy. Do you think you would go with the hot hand?
It's so, so tough. I mean, it's like the energy of PCA, I think, is really important. He seems pretty fearless. I mean, Buxton's so good. And then what do you do? I think I would probably start PCA, and you can bring in Buxton if you feel like it later, right? If the matchup favors him. It's not like anyone's got more history against the bullpen than anyone else either. So it's like,
yeah. The thing about PCA that is interesting to me is his history playing for Team USA. Anthony Volpe was, I wrote a story about this a couple of years ago. Anthony Volpe was the first player to ever appear for Team USA at the 12U, 15U, and 18U level. PCA is now the first player to appear for Team USA at the 12U, 15U, 18U, and WBC level. Okay. So playing for Team USA has been important to Pete for a long, long time. But it is not important to him in a way that is like overwrought or stressful. He is just so carefree with the way he plays that he's bringing that past. It manifests in this like positive intensity, at least, or it has in the small sample we've seen. And so for that reason, like, I actually think he has to be in the lineup, especially if you're totally facing a righty in Soroka. Like, I would go with PCA. And then the other question is what you do with third base and second base. Just to be clear, going around the diamond, Cal Raleigh's going to start behind the plate. He and Will Smith have switched off every game. They did the exact same thing in the last WBC with Will Smith and Real Muto. They just went one on, one off. It'll be him behind the dish, Bryce at first, Bobby Witt at short. It'll be Roman Anthony in one corner, and it'll be Aaron Judge in the other corner, and Kyle Schwarber will DH. Like, those are set, in my opinion. Second base, third base, we're talking about Ernie Clement, Bryce Durang, Gunnar Henderson, and Alex Bregman. We, so far, have had two alignments, right? There was one day where Gunnar started at short, and so it was like a little different. They're either going to do, like, they have either done Bregman at third and Durang at second, or Gunnar at third and Ernie Clement at second. How would you do it for this knockout game?
I think, with all due respect to Ernie Clement, he is not in my consideration at this time. It's also complicated. He's got some Canada, the Blue Jays, you just don't know, sleeper agent.
Oh, people sleeper don't think about agent. This. We haven't, no. We didn't talk about this. We didn't talk about the DeRosa sleeper agent, dude. Mark DeRosa against Team Italy.
I thought of it. Well, I think we were all thinking
open up your third eye.
Yeah. I mean, Gunnar's looked really good. I don't love the dialogue about, oh my God, get him in there. Like, look who you're replacing. Like, sometimes there are just a lot of really good players, but he's looked really good. I don't know. Bryce Durang is a pretty dynamic player, but it's tough. You also don't necessarily know what you're getting from Gunnar outside of shortstop, in my opinion. You know, it's a little bit more of a defensive risk. So that's a tough one. It's hard to sit Bregman in an elimination game too, I think.
It is. And you will... It's tough because you would be asked, the best like lineup has Bregman and Gunnar both in the lineup, but you're then asking one of them to play second base, which is not a position that they've spent much time at, or really any time at, over the course of their careers.
Yeah.
And when you compare the gap between that and Bryce Durang, who is like the best second baseman defensively in the world, you know, now that Andrés Giménez has moved over to short, it just is. I think, man, I would do Gunnar. And like Bregman might like stuff DeRosa in a locker, if that is how it goes. But I just think Gunnar looked, he has looked the most dynamic. I know he had a tough showing against Italy, but like in that Great Britain game, he was the guy, man.
Yeah. If you can find, you know, if you can convince Bregman, and I think you can, right? I mean, it's like give Gunnar a shot and tell Bregman to come out and pinch hit big homer off the bench. Like, which one of those guys do you believe in a big spot late? Probably both, Bregman. But I also think Bregman can handle it, right? So yeah, if you can talk him into it. And I don't think Bregman's gonna throw a fit. I don't know, he doesn't seem like that kind of dude. Maybe I'm misreading him.
Let's take a look at Team Canada before we move on from this quarterfinal matchup. The Canadians emerging from pool play for the first time in their history. I believe they were the only team to appear in every single WBC that had never made it out of the group stage.
Oh, interesting.
They had had some big wins early on in their tenure. They beat Team USA. There was one year, this is in the old format, where all three teams in their pool went 2-1, but they didn't make it on run differential. But Canada gets out of pool play for the first time. Congrats, you get to play Team USA. Their lineup in that final game against Cuba, which, you know, just remember, that game against Cuba was winner moves on. Like, if you lose, you're done. If you win, you're in. And so the lineup is instructive. They had Otto Lopez playing shortstop, Josh Naylor DHing, Tyler O'Neill in right, Abraham Toro at third, Owen Casey in left, Matt Davidson at first, Bo Naylor behind the dish, Denzel Clark in center, and Edouard Julian at second. I don't think they'll have Davidson in there against Team USA. Matt Davidson, former White Sox, is currently in Korea. It's like 80 raw power and the slowest bat the side of the Mississippi. which works against Cuba when they're all throwing 89 besides Levon Moinello. I don't think that will play against Team USA. So I would expect them to have like Tyler Black in there. But it is, and this is important, a lineup full of real, honest to God, Major League Baseball players.
100%. And the Nailers, especially Josh, there's a little Vinny P vibe there where you could see him, you know, getting in somebody's face and being like, let's beat these guys. Like, I could see it happening. Owen Casey looked really good, too. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying anything that anyone doesn't know, but like, that's a real deal right there. But yeah, the Nailers, especially Josh, that to me is like, if he could get on the board early somehow and get everybody pumped up, then you've got some vibes. But it's a real lineup. And, you know, Abraham Toro is not starting for the United States. I mean, none of them are starting for the United States. So I think it's like, it's going to take something special. But big leaguers help. Big leaguers help.
Big leaguers, any big leaguer could take any big leaguer deep on any day. Right. And like, we've seen that in this tournament is, especially over in the games in Asia and in Japan, where like Jamai Jones and Shea Whitcomb, who are like kicking the crap out of AAA, look like gods because there's just a level of physicality that they're able to bring to the party. Now, when you're going up against Team USA, it's a little bit different, but I just do think having guys with experience is important. And then the last point on Canada here is a lot of these guys have been playing baseball in the Canadian baseball system for a very long time, not necessarily together, right? But the way that the Canadian baseball youth circuit works is very different than, you know, obviously Team USA. Team Canada, for like the 18U team, the high school kids, they basically use them as a travel team to get them scouted by colleges and big league teams. And so they'll bring the Canadian, you know, all-star team of 16 and 17 year olds around. They'll play games in Florida. They'll play like good high school teams. They'll play good travel ball teams. And because of that, these guys spend so much time together. They're like playing 40 games together a year at the youth level. And a lot of these, and that's the case with Naylor. Tyler O'Neill came up in that system. Edward Julian came up in that system. Bo Naylor, Cal Quantrill. Like, these guys have been playing together for a really long time. I'm actually working on a story right now that should come out at some point later today about how some of these guys beat Shohei Ohtani in Ohtani's first ever game playing for Japan. This was back in 2012 in the 18U like, you know, tournament. First game of pool play. No one really knows who Ohtani is yet. He's 18. And Canada, including Jacob Robson, who's on this team, and Josh Naylor, they beat him, right? So these guys have been playing baseball together for a really long time. So do not underestimate the intensity of that and the importance of that.
Yes.
That all being said, if you don't pick Team USA here, I think you're ignoring, you're either being, you're being selfish, you're being inflammatory unnecessarily, or you're being stupid. I think that's fair to say, right?
Yes, I think so. I think so. I do want to see what happens if Josh Naylor homers early, though, because I just think, and double down on that with everything you just said. I mean, the vibes, whew.
The way that Canada wins this game is putting up runs early. It's got to look similar to what Italy did, right? Because, and DeRosa has said this, you're gonna have this lineup is gonna just strangle you over the course of the game, and they will explode at some point, right? And when that happens, you gotta have the cushion. Italy had the cushion. Can Canada give themselves the cushion? That is the question. Let's do the other quarterfinal matchup on this side, which is Puerto Rico. Or excuse me, it is not Puerto Rico. I apologize. It is the Dominican Republic against Korea. This game will be in Miami Friday night at 6 p.m. I'm currently in Port St. Lucie. Will I drive down there tonight for this game? See how I feel. I honestly do not know. The Dominican advancing out of pool play with a perfect 4-0 record. I was there the other night for their win against Venezuela, one of the most unique, delightful baseball environments that I have ever seen. A absolute party to the fullest degree. And here they are as the heavy favorites taking on Korea. Chelsea, let's start here. your impressions of the Dominican Republic from afar?
I mean, just juggernaut, just like a joyful juggernaut. I mean, they're just the best. I don't know how you don't watch that and say, like, let them tell us how to play baseball. It's just so much fun. I mean, they're just so, and they're loaded. I mean, if Team USA has the, these lineups are loaded and they just play fearless. There's like no pressure, even though there's pressure, you know, like people in Dominican want them. It's, they're awesome. I mean, they're a blast to watch. I've loved watching them and I am excited. I mean, poor, you know, poor Ryu. It's running into a buzzsaw here, but man, they are fun to watch.
So this pitching matchup is super fun. Super fun. Okay. The Dominicans are throwing Christopher Sanchez, who I would say Christopher Sanchez right now is pretty squarely the fourth or fifth best pitcher on planet Earth. Scooble, Skeens, Crochet, Yamamoto, Sanchez, right? Sanchez, Yamamoto. He got all 30 second place votes in the NL Cy Young last year. Okay. This is just because his name is Chris Sanchez, I think, and he's on the same team as Zach Wheeler, like we kind of overlook him a little bit. This is an elite arm. This is the third best pitcher, fourth best pitcher in the whole tournament. Like, he is a dog. And he is going up against Hyunjin Ryu. Yes, that Hyunjin Ryu of Dodgers fame. Chelsea, do you know the last time Hyunjin Ryu pitched in the big leagues? Do you? I did not, and I have it in front of me.
Is it like 2021?
2023. Okay, so he pitched 2023, was okay, with the Dodgers, and then with the Blue Jays. Right, he signed that deal with the Blue Jays, kind of petered out. The last two seasons, he has been pitching in Korea for the Hanwha Eagles, where he has been pretty good. Through 139 innings this year with a 3.23 ERA as a 38-year-old. I cannot imagine he is throwing hard. He wasn't really throwing hard when he was a Dodger.
And he's not
gonna. Now he's
if he
an
comes
Eagle.
Out throwing gas, something has happened.
Yeah, test his piss. We have, I will say though, I don't hate the matchup. Okay.
It's so good.
I don't hate it because if the way to beat this team, like, I think you cannot overpower them. Right? Like, I think you have to fool them. He won't. Don't trust me. Don't be concerned. He will not overpower them. I think you gotta fool them. You gotta pull one over on this lineup. And I like his ability to do that. Do I think he'll do that? No. I think that he and his fellow Korean relievers are going to get blasted into the sun tonight in Miami. And this Dominican lineup will give them a proverbial swirly of home runs. However, if you could pick anybody on Korea to start this game for them, Ryu is the pick.
Oh, 100%. I mean, was it the Korean guys who were watching the Dominican guys taking batting practice earlier this week and were like, whoa, look at that. Like, it doesn't bode well. But Ryu is like the exact kind of wily dude who like has not, there's no more legacy to build. Like, just go try to mess with them.
And
that
wide-eyedness reminds me of what Ohtani said before the final against the USA in 2023. Remember, he was like, we admire these guys.
Yeah.
So let's stop admiring them and let's beat them.
Right.
Korea in that game before Japan with Ohtani was doing a little bit too much admiration. I mean, like, enjoy the moment. You're seeing something unique. You know, and you can win the game anyway. But you're right. Like, Ryu's not going to pee his pants. The guys to keep an eye on for Korea, I know that their games have either been like at 10 p.m. or 5 a.m. local here on the East Coast. And so I know that maybe not a lot of people have been up for that, unlike us sickos and those with sickos. Young children. Chelsea, you qualify for both of the, a sicko with a young child. So you're up at weird hours. The two players that I would like to highlight for Korea, besides like the big leaguers you probably know, Jamai Jones, Jung-Hoo Lee, even Shea Whitcomb if you're a loser like us, Bo Kyung-moon and Hyunmin Ahn. Moon is the like the big burly first baseman with tons of pop, and then Hyunmin Ahn is the 21-year-old who won KBO MVP last year, outfielder with a lot of quick twitch. And you've watched some Bo Kyung-moon during this tournament.
He's a beast. He's a beast. Yeah. I mean, he has been a star. Like, he's been a lot of fun to watch. I don't know what it is about him that I have enjoyed watching so much. It's probably that I don't see him all the time. I think his name is fun, but yeah, he's been legit. I mean, he's been a revelation. I think he's had maybe the biggest like bump in credibility, baseball credibility globally from this tournament. Yeah.
He's dangerous. And I think that is what is important is like when you face a lineup, when he comes up or when he has come up in the tournament, you're like, oh man, like here's Bo Moon. Like this is, the pitcher's got to lock in. You got to lock in as a fan, understand what he's doing. As far as like the swing goes, there's some, you know, locked in Rowdy Tellez to this. And I don't mean that as an insult because remember, Rowdy Tellez used to be a freaking monster. And so it's just this big first baseman with like tons of juice to all fields. And then On is the one, like I was talking to a international director yesterday about On. Like he's 21 years old and it is quick twitch. He has gotten a lot stronger and hasn't lost the athleticism. I love his move in the box. He's hitting fourth and Moon's hitting fifth, right? And so having a 21-year-old hit fourth for you in the WBC over the guy that can't stop hitting home runs, I think is indicative of something. Chelsea James, here is my question about this game before we take a break. What does victory look like for Korea tonight? Is it a win? Like, should our standards for them be high? Like, should it be like, well, anything but a win is a loss?
No, I think play into the later innings with a shot. Like, if you can keep them close, I think you've won. Like, if you can at least hold them down and hold off the explosion, you know, you're going to give up a home. Soto, Guerrero, or Tatis will homer in the early innings. Let it be a solo homer and then stay close. And if you can get to the later innings, I think that's a win. It's hard to imagine an actual win. The only way that happens is if the Christopher Sanchez's arm falls off, I think, and they totally underestimate the Koreans, which I guess is possible. But you just got to hold off the explosion and give yourself a shot.
The weak link on this Dominican team is the bullpen. Now, they have stuff. Yeah. They have gas. Like, it is nasty. But as we saw in the ninth inning of the Venezuela DR game that I was at, like, DR goes into the ninth inning up 4-3. Excuse me. Up 7-3. And they put in Abner Uribe. And he just walks the first three hitters. And they take him out, right? Like, these guys are liable to walk the farm. And if Korea can keep it 4-1 or 6-2 heading into a late inning situation, chances are at some point you will face a Dominican reliever that doesn't know where the strike zone is, you know? And it's can you
just
lay
like
off
do that thing
pitches?
Where you hold the bat in front, like in Little League,
like
you know?
In Little League where you wave like you fake bunt. Yeah. Like at some point you're going to get one of those guys. Do you not chase? Can you capitalize on that moment with a clutch hit? And is the score close enough when you get to that point? Those are the big questions. Who you got?
Yes. I mean, the DR.
Okay.
Unfortunately, with all due respect.
That's correct. With all due respect to Korea. All right. Before we take a break, I want to let everybody know about Yahoo Fantasy Baseball. The fantasy baseball season is almost here. You cannot, unfortunately, draft Bo Kyung-moon and Hyunmin Ahn as they are still in the KBO. But you could draft like basically anybody else you want. Draft with your pals. Draft with your enemies. Or join a public league here at Yahoo Fantasy. Sign up in the Yahoo Fantasy app or at yahoofantasy.com/baseball. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we will preview the two other quarterfinal eye, Japan against Venezuela, Italy against Puerto Rico. And welcome back to the WBC quarterfinal preview. I'm Jake Mintz. That is still Chelsea James. On Saturday evening, Saturday, night's all right. Japan against Venezuela in Miami at a preposterous 9 p.m. local start time. That is for Japanese TV markets. Like, this is a great example of, like, people getting, oh, my kid is going to be up all night and won't be able to watch Seiya Suzuki. It's like, you know what? It's not for you. It's for the 100 million of the 125 million Japanese citizens that watched the WBC last time. Like, you know, take yourself out of the equation. So that will be late on Saturday evening, Japan against Venezuela. Japan going 4-0 in pool play. Venezuela losing that final game to the Dominican, finishing second and being tasked with Japan. The starting pitching matchup for this one is very fun. Ranger Suarez on the bump for Venezuela against Yoshinobu Yamamoto for Japan. Chelsea, we could go in a million different directions. Where would you like to start?
You know, this isn't a helpful direction, but like, I think someone needs to tell Yamamoto he doesn't have to pitch. Like, I can't believe he's pitching this tournament, but that's a separate issue. After what he did in the play, I mean, doesn't this guy, I mean, come on.
So here's the thing,
but
it's house money, dude. Like, this is maybe not fair to say and maybe disrespectful. There is like a Patrick Corbin 2019 Nats element now with Yamamoto where he has done it.
Totally.
He has accomplished it, right? He won a World Series by doing things that people did not expect him to do and like putting his career on the line with the money already. Like, Patrick Corbin was willing to come out of the bullpen for the Nats in 2019 1,000 times because the money was on the table already. He'd already earned the contract. Same thing with Yamamoto, right? The legacy is secure. He is just doing this for fun. He does this because he wants to.
It's wild.
My favorite part, and we have this, Chelsea, is he said that, let me back up. The initial reporting out of Dodgers camp was that Yamamoto was going to throw this game in the quarters and then return to Arizona to rejoin the Dodgers. That was then corrected, and it was Yamamoto is going to stay with Japan through the end. Here's probably what happened. Hey, Yama, can you come back after your start? No. I don't want to. And if you're the Dodgers, what are you supposed to tell him? He just won you a World Series, right?
Yep. No, he's a sicko in a great way. I mean, he is, it's amazing. Like, I love it. I love that he wants to keep pitching. I just find it incredible that he's pitching huge games in the WBC, you know, three, four, well, I don't know how many months, I can't count. 5 months after World Series, it's nuts. But him and Ron Hare, are we calling him Ron Hare?
Ron Hare,
that's a fun one.
These are two guys. If I had to take two pitchers in baseball that I least think would piss their pants in a big moment, like Yamamoto and Ranger are right at the top of that list. You know what they should do with Yamamoto if they go to the finals? They should have him jog out to the bullpen. Like, not to pitch, but just for the theater of it all. It's like to just send him out there.
Totally. And Ohtani, just to give Friedman a heart attack.
Oh, yeah. I think of all of the quarterfinal matchups, this is the one most likely we'll see an upset. I think Venezuela has a real shot here. And that is because in part of Ranger Suarez. That is because in part, like, the Japan bullpen has been good and not great. Teams have clawed their way back into games. Japan's road to 4-0 in the Tokyo Dome was a little bit more difficult than the final scores indicate. The thing I do like about Japan, the way that they've constructed their roster, and I kind of have changed my mind on this. Japan has a lot of starters. I believe they only have three pure relievers on their roster. That's going to give them length, right? So you can envision Yamamoto goes four. They hand the ball over to another bulk guy who can get them into the seventh, whereas Venezuela is going to have to kind of roll the dice with a bullpen that maybe isn't at the same level. That being said, if you just look at these lineups, I think Venezuela has a better one.
Ooh, yeah. It's close. It's really close. Yeah.
Like, I know Shohei Ohtani's good.
Yeah, kind of thing.
I'm hip to that, you know?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And especially with proven big league hitters.
Yeah, that's the thing. And not to disrespect any of the NPB guys, but like, you know, Kensuke Kondo is a guy we were really excited about, and he's been like pretty bad in the tournament so far. You know, pulling up Venezuela's lineup from the other night, I don't agree with the way that these players are ordered. I think that the lineup construction here is comical, but it goes Acuna, MVP. Michael Garcia just got a huge extension. Luis Arraez, for all of his flaws as a player, is a great bat for this tournament. You want guys that can put the ball in play and make things happen. Especially true with a team like Japan, where the defensive alignment is not great. Seiya Suzuki's going to be playing center field. Like, we had a moment in pool play where he could not get to a ball in the gap. Could that come into play? They then have I always forget WN Contreras and WM Contreras is like the whole. So it's Wilson. It's Wilson at first in the four hole. Salvi, William, Willier, Ezekiel Tovar, Jackson Churio. Those, like, I think that all of those players, not all of them, but like a lot of those players would just start for Japan. Like, I do yep. think that yep. lineup is notably better.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. You're right. Now that I'm kind of looking at that, I think I defer to some of the NPB guys just on legacy over there. But you're right. I mean, in terms of being proven, I can't get over the lineup construction. I don't know why I didn't internalize it the other night, but that's insane. But yeah, they're good. And they're also playing with house money. All you got to do is you beat Japan. There's no pressure on them. There's the, you know, yeah. the entire and country remember, of Japan will fall apart.
They were two flaps of a butterfly wing away from knocking off the U.S. in the quarterfinals last time around. I mean, that was one of the best games of the tournament. And so they're not going to be intimidated. I think I might even take Venezuela in this game. Now, I understand that that would be bad for business because anytime Shohei Ohtani farts, all of our media companies make money, you know, but like, and that's obviously what MLB wants. I want it too. Like, I want to watch Shohei Ohtani play in the WBC. I get it. But like, I think that this trap game for Japan, flying over, you know, 19-hour flight. Venezuela's already been here. Like, be careful. Be careful here. Who do you got in this one?
That's a great take. You know, I think I take Shohei Ohtani
in hot this take. Game. Hot take.
But that's the only reason. It's not, you know, if he, that's the thing, right? Like, it doesn't matter if he decides to pop off. But yeah, you're right. I think Venezuela's better. They're playing with no pressure. That's not a short flight. So you're right. I like it. He makes me like, I don't think he's going to freak out, but I also, I don't know. It's tough.
Ranger, it to me, this game is how deep can Ranger go? If Ranger goes three, Japan will win. If Ranger goes five, I think Venezuela will win. Just because, you know, the weak link for Venezuela is the bullpen. They were pretty good against DR, like the other night. They kept DR down. The Dominican scored 7 runs in the first 4 innings and then didn't score again. Now, maybe that part of that is that they threw it into cruise control. Just something to keep an eye on. All right, the other quarterfinal. Now we can talk about Vinny P. Italy against Puerto Rico. Vinny Pasquantino, since we last recorded this podcast, hit 3 home runs in a game against Mexico to send Italy through and send the U.S. through. Before we preview this, and we're going to talk about Vinny a little bit more later in Good, Bad, Ugly, Vinny Pasquantino's ascension over the last 2 weeks into a superstar. We have known Vinny for a while here on the show. We've had him on many times ever since Vinny was in AAA. Now that I'm remembering this, I went to a dinner in New York in 2022 for the Italian Baseball Federation with Vinny, like some guy who was running like the Italian baseball world in New York was like, hey, I run this restaurant in Brooklyn. You should come. And like Vinny texted me and said, you should come. And I just remember sitting there and this is all just rushing back to me right now. How passionate Vinny was in that moment before he'd ever played for Italy about playing for Italy. And now he is just like turned into this thing is like remarkable to me. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he's been, you know, if like Moon from Korea has maybe kind of like upped his, I don't know, his clout internationally, like Vinny P has like been the star turn of this tournament and like deservedly so. Like if you follow baseball, you knew that he's there. Like the personality is just so great, but what a beast. And just like, it's made me think the Royals are going to be better. Like I'm on the Royals train. Like it's been a transformative time. And I kind of hope they keep it going. I'm not looking at Puerto Rico and thinking, you know, no shot. Like I think they have a shot. Sure.
The
Seth
thing
Lugo's
about
a real pitcher, but
that is the biggest thing. That is the biggest thing is that Seth Lugo, the Puerto Rican who, let me just say, Seth Lugo, dye your hair. Go blonde. I need this from you. Lean in, brother. Lean in, Hermano. Like, let's get those tips moving, dude. We don't have a starting
and
pitcher
yet. And if he doesn't,
for,
that's why they lose.
That's why they lose. We don't have a starting pitcher yet for Italy, which is interesting for a couple of reasons. So Italy, in the way that they went about lining up their pitchers during pool play, they saved Nola and Michael Lorenz in their two best arms for the two most important games against Mexico and the U.S. And as a result, they will not be available to pitch in this game. Sam Aldighieri, who is, and I don't say this pejoratively, actually Italian, I believe pitched, he's like from Italy. He pitched their first game of the tournament. I believe that was against Brazil. And then their second game of the tournament, they started Dylan DeLucia, who is a minor leaguer in Cleveland system, who pitched for Ole Miss in the College World Series a couple years ago. So, like, whoever they throw will not be a big leaguer today, and I think, or on Saturday, and I think that is relevant.
Yeah, I mean, you like, I look at their bullpen, like they have big leaguers in the bullpen. You could
absolutely.
They're marginal. Joe Lesor's, you know, like these are guys who, but you could piece it together. You just got to get through a few at the beginning. Yeah.
Sure. As far as Puerto Rico goes, really cool story. The biggest narrative heading into this WBC, remember, was the insurance situation that cut some of their biggest players out of the tournament, and they took care of business, going 3-0 in their first three games. I believe they lost Canada in their last game, in a game that didn't really matter. They had the incredible Daryl Hernandez walk-off win to beat Panama, one of the coolest moments ever. Puerto Rico, of all the teams, is the one playing with the most house money. I think there was a lot of doubt about this roster without its biggest stars, but I don't think they're going to roll over. We do talk about having big leaguers, and this team has big leaguers. They're not superstars. I don't think there's anybody on this team that's going to make an all-star team this year. Willie Castro, Elliot Ramos, Nolan Arenado in his later years, Carlos Cortez, who is the only ambidextrous position player, which is like a very fun fact. Eddie Rosario in the twilight of his career. I think that Italy has to be considered the favorite, though, no matter who they put on the mound.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they just have a deeper lineup, but Rosario like finds a way in big moments, or he has in the past. Maybe that's an outdated take. You know, MJ Melendez was like raking in Mets camp weirdly, you know. I mean, Arenado. It's, you know, you could see it. You could see somebody coming up big. And they're you know, they have real pitching, especially, you know, in the back end. But it's tough. I think I have no good take on this. I think it could really go either way.
That is a very mature opinion to admit that you don't have a good take on it.
Thank you.
I think that, like, Italy, this will be better pitching than Italy saw against Britain or Brazil, and probably lower quality than what they saw against US and Mexico. They hammered US and Mexico, right? They like obliterated them. They're playing with so much energy and so much passion. I think you do have to take Italy in this game, but like if they get tight early and they, you know, like this could all go up in the smoke of Etna. In ash.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
In the blink of an eye. Okay, so I got it. I'll take Italy, Venezuela, U.S., and the Dominican.
Wow.
You seemed to pick Japan, which is fair considering they employ Shohei Ohtani. Let's take one more break. And when we get back, we will do a WBC edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Welcome back to the end of Baseball Barbercast. Jake Mintz, pinch hitter, friend of the program, Chelsea Chains. It is time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. one thing good, one thing bad, and one thing ugly from the week that was. We're going to put a slightly different tint on this one and do it all WBC focused. Chelsea, just so much good about this tournament. A lot to choose from. I will kick the rock to you. What of all of the wonderful catches your eye?
Man, it's really tough. I was thinking about this earlier. Like, this has been really good, I think, right? The thing, like, this has been a great tournament for baseball, even with, like, the angst. Even the angst has been good. It's been great. It's been great angst. It's been angst that means, like, we have arrived. You know, the Czech guy getting the ovation in Japan, like, that was incredible. I mean, that's just, it's like a world coming together. It's beautiful. We need it. We need it. But the thing that made me laugh the hardest was the Christopher Sanchez question and his reaction and just everyone losing their mind in the press conference room. At least it seemed that way from afar. Like, it was just a classic. It's just, I don't know, something about it warmed my little heart that, you know, this Dominican guy getting asked a question, they forgot the chance. Like, it's just great.
So it's funny. This was going to be my bad.
Interesting.
And I will explain why. I'm just going to, Mr. Producer Andrew Hartz, I'm going to do my bad first. It is going to be the bad, the good, and the ugly today. So for those of you who did not see this clip, Christopher Sanchez is sitting up at the podium doing his, you know, pre-start chatter. And a reporter starts speaking in a language that is neither English nor Spanish nor Dominican Spanish. And the look on Christopher Sanchez's face is one of horror, shock, and incredulousness. And he just starts laughing. The entire room starts cackling. There's a very specific type of, like, Dominican laugh cackle that if you spent any time really around baseball or like in Santo Domingo and in the Dominican, it just hits immediately. Like, I heard someone in the back cackling and immediately felt like I was covered in sweat and like drinking an ice cold Presidente on a bench somewhere. Like, it was beautiful. The reason this is bad, Chelsea, is that some idiot on the internet assumed that this was a Japanese reporter and tweeted, Japanese reporter asked Christopher Sanchez question in Japanese. He didn't know what it was. And it wasn't a Japanese reporter. It was a Korean reporter. And that idiot was me.
I genuinely did not know that.
I know. It didn't. I deleted it pretty swiftly because I didn't want it to be misinformation. But I got a text from someone in baseball who speaks Korean, and they said, this is hilarious. This is Korean.
But isn't that, I mean, okay. So when I first watched it and I heard the cackles that you heard, I was like, it was like, there's a way that responding to someone asking a question in a different language can be sinister and kind of stuff, but he was just like,
oh, this was
shocked,
not that,
right? Like,
had the headset. Like, there's a headset where they're translating in real time, they're interpreting in real time. He didn't have it on, and so what was funny about it in Sanchez's mind, like, the Korean reporter asking the question is not like out of the ordinary. That if he had the headset on, it would have gone right to he would have got, because in Sanchez's mind, this Korean reporter is assuming that Sanchez is fluent in Korean. That is why this is so funny, right?
Right.
And what, like, is bad about... Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, but to your point, like, you... One of the things that is, like, beautiful about this is, like, we get to, have to, should. Like, there's a lot of languages we're responsible for at all times, right? Like, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of stuff in the clubhouse. Like, I've been Duolingoing Japanese for a while. Like... And so, yeah, it's an easy mistake to make, because if you think about it, like, we have a lot to keep track of, and that is speaks so well of the sport. Like, it's so great.
Yeah. This like Tower of Babel moment, right?
Yes.
Is beautiful in that it is the sport being in a lot of different physical places. For me, it was an example of, like, assuming that this reporter in this question was Japanese was stupid because they're literally playing Korea, right? Like, that just makes a lot more sense. But also, we as media have just been exposed to more of Japanese baseball culture over the last number of years because of Ohtani and because of the Dodgers and whatever. And I after apologizing for this stupid mistake, like thought about like why I made it and what was one of my takeaways besides me, my like accidental racism was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if more and more Korean players started coming over? Like, yes. It would like to have that. I didn't know this was bad on my part, but it was also just like, there is more than what I'm always thinking about, right? Than what I'm being exposed to on a regular basis. And so even though I was bad and dumb, this moment, you are correct, was very, very good. My good, as we continue to go out of order this week, is a joke that Vinny Pasquantino made on Pat McAfee's show. Now, I was not watching this live, as I do not watch Pat McAfee's show live or recorded in full. I have other things to do. But this clip came across my timeline, and I thought it was maybe the funniest joke I have heard a baseball player tell. Chelsea, we often talk about how the bar to be entertaining as a baseball player, or really as a professional athlete, is much lower. There are very few professional athletes, baseball players, who I'm like, that guy could actually be my friend. Like, I would actually want to go hang out with that guy. Vinny is undeniably one of those people. He is not just funny for a baseball player. He is funny. And on McAfee, Pat McAfee was asking, what is your eligibility with Italy? Like, what is your family's history? Like, how did you find out that you were able to play, right? And Vinny was talking about how his grandfather came from, was born in the States, but their parents were from Italy, and like, you know, talking about his grandfather. And Pasquantino goes, Pat McAfee goes, what would happen if I Googled your grandfather? And Pasquantino goes, oh, a couple things would come up. And do you know about Vinny Pasquantino's grandfather? I feel comfortable talking about this now. That if you Google Pasquantino versus the United States, something will come up. In fact, it is a Supreme Court case. Yeah. And so then Vinny, in response to McAfee, goes, yeah, man, it's not the first time a Pasquantino has taken on the United States. Unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Unbelivable.
He's so quick, man. That espresso is hitting. Yeah.
It was hitting. Yeah. Pasquantino versus the United States was an actual Supreme Court case. I don't know if the person involved was like Vinny's grandfather, but it's certainly like a relative. It's like there was no violent crime here. This was about like international taxes and alcohol smuggling over borders. All right. And so it was so good. He was so quick because it was clear Vinny knew that McAfee knew that his family was like involved in a Supreme Court case. And then when Vinny, and I'm already laughing my ass off, and then Vinny just goes, it's not the first time a Pasquantino has taken on the United States. I was like, that is so quick. That is so, so quick.
It's so good. It's so good. And even like he kind of left an Easter egg too when he was talking about the Bobby Witt room key, because like there's been kind of behind the scenes hotel stuff with Team USA. So it's just like, you know, he's like the perfect, he's like the guy who like kind of when you're watching reality TV, like the best narrator, like looking at the camera being like, and this is what, like he's on it. Yeah. He gets the lore.
You watch reality TV, Chelsea? Just a little?
Oh my God. Is that a joke?
Just a little? Just yes, I'm absolutely kidding.
So much. Too much.
Chelsea James, I know it's up your alley. All right. That was my good. What is your bad this week?
Tubi. Nothing against Tubi. I respect, you know, it's a wide open streaming market right now. But by the time I found that game, Juan Soto had already homered. It's because I you know, the real problem is me. I can't remember my Apple password. I couldn't download Tubi on my phone. I wasn't near a smart TV. That's on me. But I think the broader issue here is it's like, and I'm not trying to be like a crazy boomer, you know, like it's getting kind of hard to find baseball games. Like you really got to know, right? Like the Mets have like six different people broadcasting games in the first 2 weeks. It's fine. It's nobody's fault. It's certainly not Tubi's fault. Get in there when you can. But it's a lot. It's a lot.
It should be easy to watch the baseball game. It should be whatever the game is. It should be easy to watch it. And I think about this in the context of like my own technological capabilities, where if me and you, Chelsea, are having difficulties finding Tubi, the 73-year-old Dominican grandfather in Washington Heights, like pulling out his iPhone, like, good luck. Like, thinking of you, you know? Now, the real reason that this is bad is that just Tubi was down. Like, Tubi went down for the Soto home run. Now, Tubi or not Tubi, is free. And, like, you go to the website and it's just, like, right in front of you. That part I like. You don't totally have to put in your email. Not a free ad. Definitely not. But an unacceptable moment here for Tubi, because I can't speak to Tubi's history as a streaming service, but DR Venezuela and the WBC has to be one of the most important sporting events ever streamed on Tubi. Yeah. And they screwed up. Yeah.
I mean, to
up.
Be fair,
oh!
Netflix, remember Netflix? Thank you. Netflix tried to, remember there was like they were trying to live stream a sporting event for the first time and it failed a few years ago. I forget what it was, like a boxing something I don't watch. So it's like, I think it is a thing, but I don't know what you do like in terms of making this easier, because I get, and is there a way you can just like buy into all baseball, like mini subscription? I don't know. Rob Manfred got it, I'm sure, but it's getting rough.
It's getting harder. You got 3 more years of this before all the contracts are up. And then all baseball will be packaged to Tubi. All right, Chelsea, let's finish 100%. Up here with the Ugla. I'll let you start. What was Ugla for you? I can already see the smile on your face.
You brought this to my attention. Guy Fieri at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium in Jupiter, Florida, with Cardinals, what is he, Pobo now? Heimblum. Guy Fieri with a cigar next to a not clean shaven, by the way. I noticed he looks a little scruffy. Heimblum.
That's good. That means he's working.
I don't know. Totally. I don't know how those two people find each other in this life. I don't know how they find each other at Roger Dean Stadium. I don't know anything about how that comes together. And yet if you know Heimblum at all, and I don't know him well, you know him better. Like, he's a fairly buttoned up guy. He's funny. But, you know, he's like a Yale guy. He's the president. You know, he's just, I don't know. And Guy Fieri, you know, with the fraud. It's just incredible combination of two humans at an incredibly random location in the baseball universe on an incredibly random day in March. It's perfect.
The best part, I mean, so I should have done this earlier. I have put out feelers to Heimblum. I have asked, I am doing journalism. Hey, how did you meet Guy Fieri? Okay. And if Chaim gets back to me in the next 5 minutes, I will share his response if it is on the record. My favorite part of this is that Guy is just like dressed up as Guy. Like, if you're like, hey, Guy Fieri, can you do me a favor? Can you be as Guy Fieri as possible while you're talking to Heimblum? He's got like this enormous silver chain. He's holding a cigar. His blonde tips are coiffed. The goatee is absolutely in full bloom, as is Chaim.
Nice.
All over it. And yeah, this is great. Chaim, I think behind the scenes, having talked to him off the record many times, is a very charismatic guy. And I understand how these two would have a nice conversation. However, it is so
funny. Chaim needs a podcast. There's like more to Chaim than meets the eye. And I think if Cardinals fans, it's just a fascinating, it's just all of it is perfect. It's just a combination of like Cardinals, Chaim, Guy, just perfect.
Great. No notes. Heimblum, come on the podcast, talk about Guy Fieri. All right. My Ugla this week is sort of Heimblum related, because it's about the Red Sox, the team that he used to run before he, you know, we're on this pod. We're justice for Heimblum on this pod. He got done dirty out in Boston. Hey, welcome to the organization. You're our new chief baseball officer. Can you trade one of the most beloved players in franchise history really quick for us? Okay, whatever. Neither here nor there. In spring training, Braden Ward broke the Grapefruit League stolen base record. I believe it was his 17th or 18th stolen base of the spring, which is a ridiculous number for spring training. There was a joke going around like, hey, is he going to Ricky Henderson the bag? Is he going to take the bag and put it over his head when he does it? He was on a podcast called To the Show Baseball Podcast, hosted by a guy named Andrew Parker. And Andrew Parker was like, hey, if you steal it, are you going to raise it above your head? And he was like, oh, no, they want me to. And he like half Rickied it. He stole a base in the top of the second inning yesterday against the Minnesota Twins in a game that apparently some people were at. And upon sliding into second base, he took the bag out from its moorings, lifted it like chest level. He did not throw it above his head. He did not say, today I'm the greatest of all time. But he did more than I would have expected him to. So Braden Ward, understanding the bit, no notes, great job for ugly-ing and Ricky Henderson the base above your head.
Epic. So good.
Like, this could be the...
Also, breaking that record by mid-March is insane.
Yeah, he's literally 2 weeks of games.
That's insane. Yeah.
I need more spring training record books. Like, I want that.
Yeah, we got to do more of that. We got to blow that up. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah,
I agree. That is our show. That is it. That's all I have. Thank you to Andrew Hartz and Ingrid Rosas for producing. Jordan Schusterman, who is off today. Thank you to him for being my friend. Thank you to Chelsea Janes for hopping in a time of need. Very excited to watch the WBC this weekend. Chelsea, before we let you go continue with your life, is there anything you'd like to say? Anything you'd like to plug? Anything you'd like to promote?
No. I've got nothing. I am adjusting to life with SNY and enjoying it very much. So if you happen to live in the New York area, please heckle me on there. But otherwise, no. Happy to be here. Ready?
What is it like to be the New York media? Like, now every time there's a conversation where it's like, can this player handle the New York media? They're talking about you, you know?
Okay, I'll tell you. I don't think we have time for this, but I'll tell you this. There was like a first spring training game the Mets played. They like walked a million hitters. And I was like, I got to ask now. Like, I'm in New York. I got to make this. It matters. You know, this is New York. First day of spring training still matters. So I was like, Carlos Mendoza, is it too early to care about the walks? You worry about all these walks? And he was like, yeah, it's way too early. And I was like, okay, too hot.
Okay, sorry. sorry.
But, yeah. but no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it is weird. It's weird. But it's the best. Everyone here cares so much. It's awesome.
That's the thing, dude. This is a long conversation. Yeah. Like, the intensity that comes with the bigger, more fervent fan bases, as someone who covers it, can be not grating, but it can be stressful to be around, but it's also what pays the bills. And like, it is what drives interest. And that passion is a good thing. It doesn't always manifest as a good thing, but it's certainly, like, at its core, is a positive thing for the sport. So Chelsea, thank you for taking on the big markets. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for who you are and what you do. Nobody I know. Let me say, there are a few people I know with a better moral compass than you, and I appreciate you dearly.
Thank you. Back at you. Thanks for having me.
I'm working on mine. Maybe I won't mix up Koreans and Japanese on the next show. Thank you all for listening. You can email us at baseballbarbacast@gmail.com. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.